Hello, you're listening to the Talking Spirit Anime Cast. My name is Andrew, and I'm joined here with Chris.
Yo.
And we're from the TalkingSpirit.com website, where you can go for our news, reviews, coverage, and noodle anime, as well as a wonderful community forum link stop, social media links on the right side, and a podcast series button at the top there, where you can click on to see our other Monogatari series reviews, which this one's going to be our next one, which is Owari Monogatari second season. This one was a 7-episode series that has recently broadcast, and it was kind of a weird broadcast. It was an ONA release. They did 7 episodes that were kind of compiled into 3 episodes. I don't know how that works. But yeah, we checked them out, got our full perspective on them, and then we're here to discuss them. But yeah, for those who don't know, this is going to be a full-on spoiler discussion about Owari Monogatari second season, because at this point it's been such a long-running series that it's impossible to talk about any of the characters in this show because technically their circumstances involve what they've gone through in their first early arc. So if you have not watched all the way up to Owari Monogatari second season, all the way through the entire season, this is a point in which you'd want to turn it off and go watch it. Come back and listen to our podcast and see what our thoughts on it is. But this is for the actual fans of Monogatari. It's what we do it for. They want to hear our perspective on them. All
right.
So we went through all 50 million hours of it, and now we're here at Owari Monogatari second season. But yeah, this one was a kind of a weird one because it kind of opens up right when Araragi is dead. And that was kind of probably going to be a shocker to many people who had not watched the original series or the original Koyomi Monogatari series,
or
at the very end of it.
Or if you kept going past the warning that we all gave you that said spoiler and you didn't stop listening, then that's probably a shock to you as well.
Yeah, probably. because, yeah, in Koyomi Monogatari, the last 2 episodes, Gain had shown up after Kaganui had disappeared and said there was 2 sides that were battling and that she was afraid of him being on the other side, and so that she needed to kill him. And so she brought out her sword and chopped him up and wakes up after dying, wakes up in hell. He wakes up in hell, and you would think it's not hell because when he opens his eyes, lo and behold, Chris's favorite character shows up in front of him.
Hachikuchi.
Hachikuchi, yeah. She's all happy. I like how he kind of gets this moment of like going, oh, well, I know you're expecting me to go crazy and just...
Yeah, started getting a little bit meta right there.
and then he couldn't help it, and then he turned into a gigantic rocket, flew into the air, and came back down and exploded on her and flung her around and did all these usual fun, loving things that he loves to do to her. I really appreciate them because I remember he said at some point, I think I might have said it at the very beginning of this one, was he said, I just wish I could see her one more time. And it was literally Hachikuchi. Like, he didn't care. Like, everything else was kind of fleeting from his mind, except for the fact that he just wished that he got to see Hachikuchi one more time. I really love their relationship between the two of them, because it's really like this really powerful love friendship that they have between the two of them. Because, again, if you guys have been listening to us for a long time, we keep pointing out the fact that every time Hachikuchi was in a scene in any of the series, she was always the one that was a kind of a psychiatrist for him. Whenever he was lost, he would bump into her, and she would always bring either a light to his darkness or bring guidance to him in certain ways. I mean, I remember like when they were getting into the sisters, Karen and Tsukihi, one of the things he had was this he didn't know how to help them. I think there was at some point he was talking about revealing his secret of him being a vampire to them, and that was all that stuff that he consulted with her, and she gave him guidance for. So I do think they have like this really special relationship between the two of them that, yeah, scenes like this where he just kind of flips out after not being able to see her for so long was really heartwarming, especially after her being taken away. It was not a fun scene. Mm-hmm. Especially how broken up she got and how Yatsugi lifted her up so that she could give him a kiss.
Yep.
And we got to finally see him reunited. But yeah, that kind of leads into Hachikuchi kind of revealing that she knew that he was coming. They are in Avikic, is it how you say it? Avikic Hell? Avikic Hell?
I don't know
the pronunciation. It's a Buddhist belief. It's a lowest point in these levels of hell. I think specifically in the things that I read, it's specifically for people that murder their parents. What was the other one? It's a lot of it has to do with murder, and there was something else. I forget exactly what it was, but it was odd that they basically chose to. I don't know if they were kind of passing guesses, but Hachikuchi specifically says she's there because she died before her parents, and that was just terrible. and they were specifically saying that Koyomi had gone there because he had helped a demon. He right. aided a demon, which would have been Shinobu. So that was kind of interesting. But the fact that Hachikuchi was there because she died before her parents was really screwed up. But they basically go there, and it's like this really deep point of hell. And they say specifically they're supposed to be there until at some point they can finally be reborn as a very lesser being, like probably a worm or something like that, to give it their next chance at rebirth. But anyways, that's a side note. Hachikuchi kind of takes Araragi. They are doing some discussions. I forget exactly what they were discussing during that time.
Just different points of his history.
Yeah, I think he got her caught up immediately. And then when they were walking, I think they were discussing more of... I don't remember exactly what they were discussing when they were walking towards the thing. Because I know that he at some point was like, she's like, you need to wrap it up quickly because we're not gonna have much time to talk about it anyways. But
yeah, they were going through different events of his life, and different things. Well, actually, different things that happened during the series.
I thought they got all that caught up at the tree, but that's fine. The person that she was supposed to be taking Araragi to is Tadatsuru Tiore, who is of course the guy that kidnapped Karen, Tsukihi, and Kanbaru, and Yatsuki had killed. So it was kind of a shock to see him there. Then we come to find out that he has been pretty much... that it was part of his plan to get killed by Yatsuki. I don't remember exactly what we decided on was the reason why... you said that he had to die because he was a doll, and he had to be sent down to hell in order to help him resurrect. I thought that right. I thought that they were saying that he had already died and that he was controlling his dolls from hell. But Chris clarified that he was in the doll, and that makes more sense.
So. Right, and that she had to send him to hell so that he could help Araragi come back to Earth.
Yeah, so he was there on all this big plan waiting for him to arrive there just to resurrect him, because the whole reason that he was killed by Gain was because they wanted to separate him from Shinobu, and that was the easiest way they could see doing it was to use the Kokoro Watarai and slice him and separate the two of them. And
one of the best scenes comes up next.
I think that's pretty much all that really happened there. And then at some point, the string appears. They kind of reveal that, of course, Tadatsuru was employed by Oshino. That Oshino Meme is actually still around, and he was the one behind everything. I think they were specifically saying they were trying to do it outside of Gain's perspective. I think they also revealed at that time that Uigi Oshino had tried to hire Tadatsuru to kill Araragi, which that gets into that whole power struggle thing that they were kind of getting into. The string kind of appears, and they're saying, okay, it's time for you to go. You only have some certain amount of time. You need to get out of here. Otherwise, you're kind of, dead. I think they said at that point that there was the other sword that if they were to cut him with that again, he could technically be rebound with Shinobu, which that was kind of interesting. Because there's two different swords.
Right.
And one was one that severed them, and one could possibly put him there. Well, no, I'm just talking about the two types. Right,
the two main ones is the Kokoro Watari, and then there's the fake Kokoro Watari. And then there's a third one, I think.
I know that Gain technically made another one.
Right.
You knew that it was coming.
Yeah.
Because they were so emphatic about pointing out if the return of her first servant when they killed him, did any of the armor get left behind? Because it could be made into a sword. And sure enough, it gets made into a sword. So, yeah.
Unless there's another one that's a fake one, and then she has the third one. Because they were talking about a fake one for the longest time.
I think there's the one, the fake, and then there's the one that Gain made.
Right. So, okay. So, I'm right. There is
But Gain had two. She was carrying two. So, is there four? I don't know. I lost track of all the swords. I know that Shinobu has two, and I knew that Gain had two right there. And so Gain did also say that she returned them, so I'm not sure if she borrowed one or that she's just saying that she gave them both of them. And that was a way of saying borrowed. Maybe that was a weird translation. I don't know. Anywho, they said they have to go back, and it's time to go. And he grabs the string, and he's about to let him go back. He said that if you aid Shinobu in the future, I might have to kill you. And it's like, you're still dead, dude. you're not a scary person. But yeah, as they're getting pulled up, I was literally going, I cannot believe you're leaving Hachikuchi behind. You are not going to leave Hachikuchi behind. Are you seriously going to leave her behind?
That was a pretty awesome scene.
You think he's going to leave her behind? Did you have any doubt?
No. Well, no, yeah, I didn't even think about it, but yeah, it was a nice little surprise for me.
It was just sad because at some point she's pushing him, and then he's like, "What are you gonna do?" And she's like, "Well, I'm gonna go back to stacking rocks on the edge of hell." It's like, that's really mean. You're not leaving her behind, are you? But yeah, grabs her and then yanks her up with him. I like when they wake up. What was it? Was it Shinobu or was it Gain that said, "You're truly amazing that you managed to come back and bring back Hachikuchi with you"?
I think it was Gain.
Just, you keep surprising me. I don't know.
Well, no, it didn't surprise her because she knows everything.
Nope.
She had it planned the entire time.
No, I think she specifically said that it was a surprise. No, she had it planned.
She wanted the pawn.
I know you're joking because technically on several occasions she says that he throws wrenches in the things that she plans. Like technically she wanted Shinobu to be part of that. To be the god in that shrine, and guess who messed it up? Araragi. So it's not always as her plan. She just likes to make the facade that she plans everything.
Oh, she's making a facade that she had.
She knows it, but she doesn't technically have everything. No, she says she knows everything. She does have a lot figured out.
And I'm starting to be convinced of it because she has everything seems to be planned out. So
yeah, pretty much everything for the last 50 million seasons has been pretty much leading up to this one single point. And that is quite scary how much planning that would technically take and a lot of assumptions that things will occur the way they occur. But that's Gain for you, so.
But the really awesome scene that I was talking about was, other than Hachikuchi, but was Shinobu standing over Gain's neck ready to just shred into her. That was great.
No, that goes back to Gain's knowing everything's and having everything planned out. She knew that she wasn't going to lose her head before he showed up again. Yeah, she was literally going to kill him or kill her. Yeah, I like also that kind of leading out of that was, you know, this whole conversation with Yatsugi. This course is kind of jumping forward a little bit, but Yatsugi kind of being a little afraid of the fact that now Shinobu's like fully powered and she's not bound to Araragi and she's wanting to learn to be more polite or speak more politely. I think specifically like right there, Gain was like, can you possibly tell Shinobu not to bully Yatsugi anymore? And she's over there just throwing Yatsugi around like, haha, and now you can't, you know, step on me no more. Cause Yatsugi has been having a lot of enjoyment out of stepping on Shinobu. So that was funny. I think that was pretty much the scene right there. They pretty much revealed most of that stuff that there was this other side, and she was trying to figure out if Araragi was going to be a part of, was going to follow with Gain or was going to follow with Oshino. I think later on he runs into Oshino, and Oshino basically, Uigi, Oshino starts revealing the fact that she hopes that Araragi will be on her side. Doesn't quite get into exactly what's going on,
but that she does make one big reveal.
Okay.
And that is that she is not the darkness.
Yeah, that was so funny, because where we're at that point, it was like, is she being deceitful? Is she telling the truth? We weren't quite sure at that point, because it was, yeah, for the longest time, we thought that was the case. I almost wonder if Nisi Yoisin was like, okay, everybody kind of gets it now. It's the darkness. I don't think I can keep up with that one. I think I need to throw in a wrench here. It doesn't need to be the darkness. We need to do something else. It cannot be the darkness. So let me think of something else we can do. We'll do that instead.
Now, what he did do was really kind of clever with Ogi, but it was one of those things that's kind of like, I know you, I've been building this up as the darkness, and it's like, did you really think that we would catch on the darkness thing? Because it wasn't, it was very subtle. the kind of hints, like at some point they get into Ogie's kind of insistence on things being, was it right or something like that, and they explain why Ogie that.
I'm of course making a joke. This is definitely something that has been sprinkled throughout the entire series. We didn't know the reason for it. And yeah, literally the classroom scene where they were talking about the whole who cheated or whatever thing, and they were doing the whole voting thing, and it was the whole deal with that other person that he had met a long time ago and was tutoring with math. That was her literally saying, "I don't know anything. You do." That was Oigi's whole thing was, "I don't know anything. It's you. You know what's happening here." Never once did Oigi claim that she knew what was happening. She always said, "Araragi, you know what's going on. You know the answer to that." Because as it kind of gets into later on, which I'm not sure we want to jump into that yet, because technically before then we had the date with Shinji Gohara. I don't want to skip past that because I know we have a lot of people that are full on board the Shinji Gohara train. Was definitely a boring situation for me because I still don't like Shinji Gohara. I thought it was a sweet date. It took pretty much the entire second episode. But it was sweet to finally see them kind of grown up. They're kind of putting aside things. They were very cute together. It was a nice little date to kind of show them as a
all
nice dynamic.
The dates in one.
It technically was like the only date that I've ever seen those two on where they seem to have some kind of connection. So it was nice to finally see that, hey, yeah, I guess they could technically be a couple. I've yet to see that. Now I have, so I can't complain no more. I still think he should be with Tsubasa, but I can't always decide these things. And for all those that are Shinji Gohara fans, there you go. Be happy.
I have three alternatives to Shinji Gohara.
I have plenty.
I have Hachikuchi,
No, here's my issue.
Sadako and Shinobu, all three make great alternatives too.
Again, I'm perfectly fine with that, and I think it was a cute little moment. I think my only issue that I had with the whole date was that it's not a bad thing in any way, shape, or form. It's just that Shinji Gohara and Araragi's chemistry was always the reason why I enjoy them together. And unfortunately, it seemed like they toned down Shinji Gohara a lot, and she was a lot less snappy than she usually is. Her humor was a lot less brutal than it usually is. So that chemistry was kind of lost, and it would just end up being a regular date for the most part. I did get a kick out of the whole, absolute commanding kind of thing and wanting to possibly get him to do something. It was kind of cute.
Yeah, there was a lot of cute little moments in there, and definitely the kind of cherry on the top was that last little moment between the two of them.
Yeah. I like her really trying really hard, especially bowling. She runs out of energy. She has to admit defeat. I guess you could carry me, and I guess my command could be that I get to carry you as princess, so... Following up that's when Gain with Yatsugi underneath her in her grasp, and then Shinobu with Araragi in her grasp, and poor little Hachikuchi off to the side, all meet together at the original location of the shrine at the park, which was, that was, I guess that's something we kind of skipped over. That was kind of an interesting little thing. When we were trying to figure out exactly what Oigi was, they were kind of going into the whole shrine, how it was moved. Chris was going on a theory of the dragon heads, and I'm like, nope, I'm kind of past the dragon or the snake at this point. But yeah, it was all right hearing about that, but that's beside the point. But yeah,
well, that was funny because at some point, was it after this or before that we got the reveal that it was a kind of soft little hint that Oigi was actually Araragi? Was that before the scene or after that scene?
I think it was just at the point which when they first arrived back from hell, I think when that first part of that conversation, just before it started getting into the whole shrines and the snake, I think it was at that point where we were kind of getting rid of the, of course, I think, I'm not sure if it was before then or after she said that she wasn't dark. I think it was when she said that she wasn't the darkness. I think at that point we were kind of going on the idea of it just being an alternate right. personality.
And then that's when I went into the idea of the two snakes, because they kept going on about the two snakes, and it was like, okay, well, we've got one snake that's sealed away, and the other snake, well, we've never heard of this other snake, so maybe Oigi is the other snake. But no, it's not.
Well, they were saying that first half died, and they moved the shrine, and the other snake was technically what got involved with Sengoku. I don't think that they.
That's true. And that one was killed.
Yeah,
that's true.
Put in the past. So, anywho.
One snake was killed by Araragi and his group, and the other snake was killed by
Shinobu.
Or is sealed.
No, Shinobu technically killed the other half when she first showed up.
Right. Okay. And then the other one was sealed. No. So then who did he kill? The other snake was never killed, just sealed.
Okay. The first one was killed, the second one was sealed. I don't know. Like I said, that was furthest from my mind, just because it didn't seem like it. Yeah, it kind of felt weird that we're going into that. I think they were just mainly going into that just to kind of set up with Hachikuchi, because it kind of ends off that scene with the fact that, okay, well, the true identity of Oigi is, and then it kind of cuts away from there to the whole date, and then coming back to the meeting at the park, and that's what the kind of the big reveal is, which is that Oigi is the alternate. It was a creation by Araragi for criticism. That was the interesting thing of it. Because, like I said, it fits so well with the concept of what Oigi was. It was a something that he needed to have criticize him because he's so selfless. He's always helping other people, and this is this thing that would kind of keep him in check, which I thought that was pretty, really cool. And of course, later on, that gets more into the concept of it being his adolescence that he's giving away by destroying Oigi, which was interesting as well. But yeah, that was a cute little scene with them all kind of together. I enjoyed seeing Shinobu kind of wrapped around Araragi. They were kind of considering the, of course, they were at that point figuring out what was the issues they had at hand, which was the unbalance, the lack of a god. And of course, the context of who Oigi is, and the fear of the shadow appearing. And of course, Gain reveals that she has this big master plan, that everything has been in play just to be put into play, just needs their permission that it's going to happen, which was put Hachikuchi as a god, which worked because she technically came back from hell, which that would be enough reason for her to be able to become a god, which I'm assuming you're on board. I think that was
I'm totally on board.
Okay. At that point, I thought that was going to be something that Gain would use to force Adadagi's hand, saying she's going to get eaten up by the shadow again, or I can make her a god. But I need your help taking out Oigi. Otherwise, I'm not going to do that. I thought that she was going to use that, but I guess technically he kind of
Think that's why I think that she called Hachikuchi a pawn, because by making her into a god, he naturally came over to her side,
yeah.
And because she needed him to do the competing against Oigi. So, yeah. Because Araragi had something to lose on his side, per se.
Yep. And I think they kind of just reveal the fact, I don't know if they reveal at that point or if it was after the battle, that technically Shinobu was just going to go just be alone. I thought that she was saying that she wanted to rebind. At that point, I thought she said that she wanted to rebind Araragi so that she can become youthful again and not leave his side. But I guess after the battle, that's when she basically decided that she's going to go off on her own. Did you catch any kind of reason why she said that she did that, or if it's just assumed that she thought that she would be the only apparition that would be tying him down to not be able to move on? Because everything here felt like a send-off for Araragi.
I didn't understand what was... I thought that she went back into a shadow, but because that was kind of that little last-minute thing of something about you're not allowed to die or something like that. I didn't get all of that, so...
She was embracing him, and I think she specifically said that she was going to
give him
power to heal him up, and that she was going to then go off into the mountains. I think she specifically said that. Could be wrong. Somebody can correct us in the comments. I'm sure they will. They're already typing it out. But I think she specifically said that she was leaving. But because, like I said, it felt like everything was lining up to this idea that not only is he giving up his adolescence by fighting Oigi, even though he ends up embracing Oigi in the end, but Shinobi was like this, it almost felt like they were making it out as if Shinobi was this last apparition that was tying him down and that they were trying to let him go. I don't know. It felt like that. I don't know if that's technically what they were planning on doing, because technically there is another, was it Zaku Wadagonogatari? There's a third, there's a final chapter of this whole thing that they didn't actually adapt, which was kind of bummering. But yeah, that was a cool little scene having, not even just that. I mean, having, it felt tense because after he claimed that he was going to help her, Oigi, it cuts over to Oigi, and Oigi goes to see, Tsukihi. And we see that once again, Nisi Oisin loves cutting all the characters' hair, and now we have, Sengoku is now short-haired, so I have to feel the same suffering that Chris feels with all the characters. Why do I have to cut all their hairs? But yeah, kind of going into, like, the future, and Chris was flipping out about this whole thing of, because that was the cutaway. He said that the real identity to Oigi is, and it cut away.
That's right.
And it went to Tsukihi at Sengoku's house, Nendeko's house, and they were doing the manga thing. One's drawing the manga and one's coloring it in. And Chris is like, oh, don't let it be one of those two. Don't let it be
don't even do
two.
That.
Like, it's going to do some crazy thing where one of them walks out of the room and turns into Oshino or something like that. They've been dead this entire time. I don't know what was going through Chris's head that time, but I'm going, did he catch something I didn't? I'm going to be really mad in a second because I didn't catch what he's getting into. But yeah,
my brain was all over the place at that point because I had no idea what they were doing with Oigi. So,
but yeah, Tsukihi leaves, bumps into Oigi outside, jumps onto her bike, starts riding her home. Some point, kind of getting lost. They kind of get into a little bit into what Tsukihi is, and Oigi kind of asking if she's okay with that, okay with the fact that her brother accepts that. It was interesting because it kind of led right into...
They just got on the border of revealing it to her. I think that he was poking at her to find out if she knew what she was. But didn't quite get to that point. It was even up to the last point when she called her a monster, she was like, what? And then that was when they bumped into Araragi.
Well, that's kind of the interesting thing. And I think this is one of those moments where it's going to be really cool to see what he actually breadcrumbed with Oigi, because something like that really does pique my interest to actually go back to the starting points of Oigi showing up, which I think was technically in Nadeko.
Yeah,
was that what the first season that she was in?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, actually seeing if you can see Araragi in what she's doing, seeing if you could see what Araragi would be doing in that situation, and what he's picking at. Because technically, yeah, with that one, it's really a case of is this a way of him criticizing himself for what he did with Tsukihi? Is this him trying to see if what he did with Tsukihi is okay because he can't ask her himself? That's where that kind of... I wonder how much he actually thought of this.
Well, even with Nadeko, she was constantly using her cuteness and what was Oshino's or Oigi's kind of part in that was that he was saying you have to let go of that cuteness. Here's a little scrunchie that may fix that problem for you.
Mate took another jab at it right when Tsukihi came out of the house there too.
Yeah, he did.
Asking about her cuteness. But yeah, that's definitely something I would love to kind of pick into. But yeah, after parting ways with Tsukihi, saying okay, go on back home. You can take my bike with you. I have to go meet with Araragi. Yeah, that was at the point where I think they technically revealed that Oigi was... Well, no, technically they had a little spout back and forth for a little bit before finally saying you were technically me. And I think at that point we were pretty much already sold on the fact that it was Araragi. But yeah, that was the need to acknowledge that and send it away before the shadow showed up. But of course the shadow ends up showing up before that can technically happen. And a lot of fights with himself, I guess, at that point, which nothing really too standout-ish. I don't remember much too much there being standout-ish. It was really just him trying to figure out if he wanted to accept to keep that or not. if he really won or not. Why did Oigi come there, even though he knew that he was going to acknowledge that it was him? And this sounds really stupid trying to explain this, because I'm talking about him and himself. But finally decides to save Oigi in the end, just because it's Araragi, and he's very selfish and cannot accept, like, I like how Oigi points out, I'm not technically a girl, by the way. He's like, I don't care, that's not the point. But I guess it was the main thing there was, it's really is it him accepting his adolescence and not wanting to let it go? I guess it's the same old thing where people realize, do I really need to grow up, kind of thing.
And then an awesome entrance.
Oh my gosh.
Another awesome entrance.
Oh yeah, Mimi Oshino shows up. No, I was like, no, Hanakawa showed up first, and she's like all like worn out, and I'm like, what the hell happened to Hanakawa? And there's, yeah, Mimi Oshino, and he's looking all cool, like, yeah, I cannot believe you still do this kind of stuff.
What are you doing to my niece?
Yeah, what are you doing on top of my niece? And then everything just broke. It's like, how can Mimi Oshino fix everything with a single line? He just does it, and there he is. Yeah, what are you doing on top of my niece? Everything fixes, because acknowledge the lie that was constantly there. It's the thing they've always talked about with the shadow, is when something strays from what it actually is into a lie and keeps at it, it eventually gets sucked up by the shadow. And of course, acknowledging that Oshino is his or Oigi is his niece, it's no longer a lie, the shadow leaves, kind of thing, which was pretty cool. So it was a nice little icing on the top of the cake there. What else happened after that? Everything after that is a blur. I guess it was just a quick montage at the end of that one.
Yeah, it was pretty much a after the story was over type thing.
Yeah, of course, seeing Shinobu embracing Araragi to heal him up. Yeah. Like I said, I'm really curious to see what they go on from this point, because technically everything is, at that point, I guess, all wrapped up. Araragi was technically supposed to go take his exam that would be before he died and get his final move on from there to the university. So, yeah. Interesting stuff. Definitely enjoyed it. This was definitely an awesome little thing. I guess the big interesting thing about this, like I said, Oigi, just the... Think about the context of that, the fact of, again, thinking back to the earlier points that Oigi was around, wanting to go back and watch all that stuff just to see how much of it was Araragi criticizing himself or criticizing who he was helping. I would love to go back and watch through all those again just for that particular reason. So that was a really cool part of it. Getting Hachikuchi back, her becoming a god, which was just, yes, epic. I like actually getting to see her in her little shrine. It looked like a park thing, shrine. I don't know what was going on there. I was really expecting them to put her in like a kimono or something like that. No, she still has her usual outfit with a backpack.
I generally just enjoyed the fact that we got a conclusion to the Oigi story. That was really kind of the story that
shadow, where Oshino was, everything was concluded with this one, it felt like.
Yeah.
I don't think there's really any other threads at this point. They wrapped up all those threads.
Pretty much.
And that was the other thing I was going to get into, was really cool about this series, was just kind of seeing all that stuff kind of all get wrapped up and tied in a nice little bow. Everything that felt like it was throwaway was all for a reason. Tadasuru felt like a throwaway, became for a reason. The armor that they were saying was left behind that they could make a sword out of was for a reason. Oigi, everything that Oigi has done, said, criticized Araragi was all for a reason. Hachikuchi dying, being taken away by the shadow was for a reason. Everything was for a reason that was Gain.
Yep.
So yeah, definitely a cool little series. Looked great. Enjoyed it, every little bit of it. It was a nice little tie-up. I'm really interested to see what else they actually have planned for the series. We still have to watch Kizumonogatari's part 3. And then, like I said, whatever they decide to make going forward, if they're going to get into a third season of Owari Monogatari, there's still a lot more even after that. I don't know what else is in those other books, but he has like 10 other books that are still out there, and I'm not sure if those are side stories or more. We're always open for more.
We can do more.
As long as Shaft's still around, as long as Nisi Yosin is around, we'll keep getting more. So that's cool.
Probably the Fire Sisters adventures.
Adventures of the Fire Sisters. I think they said something about that, kind of them moving on. And yeah, because they were, that was kind of in the after story, the fact that Karen technically would be going off to high school and is Tsukihi going to do her own thing. And you know they are. Yeah, they will. Anywho, cool stuff. Hanikawa is still best girl for Adadagi. Let's get all of our flames out here just to get people angry at us. Sengoku's still best girl for me. Who's best girl for you still?
The four lollies.
I still fight with myself with Sengoku, because technically I don't feel that they did enough with Sengoku. I kind of had Hanikawa take over that role because of what all they did with Hanikawa, especially with, like, you know, Kizumonogatari and stuff like that. So yeah, Hanikawa is like right there with Sengoku for me. So, but yeah, I can always love Shinobu. Who's, you said four lollies? There's Hachikuchi, Shinobu, who else? Tsukihi? I don't really consider Tsukihi or Yatsugi lollies.
No, Yatsugi is a lolly. Hachikuchi.
No, Yatsugi's not a lolly.
Yes, she is.
No, she's not.
She's totally a lolly. She's totally a lolly. Shinobu. And I was going with Sengoku, but, you know, you could say Tsukihi as well.
Sengoku's not a lolly.
Definitely not Karen.
But I definitely felt like after that, I wanted to so badly go through the entire series and really do a hyper analysis of each character and what they went through with each one of the characters. I would love to do like a episode on Yatsugi, an episode on Shinjigahara, an episode on Hanikawa. I think it would be really, really cool. But yeah.
Build it up.
If we ever have time. Everything else that we want to do. Anywho, we hope you guys enjoyed this review, spoiler discussion about Wayamonogatari's second season. We hope you guys enjoyed the episode. We hope you guys enjoyed this podcast episode. Definitely let us know in the comments for the podcast episode, the thread for it. We hope you guys enjoyed, and y'all take care.
Oos!